Beverly, I can't thank you enough. Beverly single-handedly has kept this service going, planning all of our worship and music, and so she has such enormous gifts, and to share that beautiful, beautiful hymn, The Presence of the Lord. Sharon, thank you too. So anyway, it's been a joy and a delight to have this service. It's the last service that we will have here formally in the evening on Sundays at Coral Ridge, and so it's been a couple of weeks of reflection for me, and I find my heart really rejoicing. I will miss seeing you week to week, but I do find comfort in the Holy Scripture. I'm thankful for the opportunity I've had here. The session asked me to take the evening service when Dr. Kennedy had his coronary incident in December of 2006, and so Sam and I began, Sam in the morning, in January, late January of 2007. And when Pastor Tullian came, he asked me if I would continue with the evening service, and I said I would be happy to do that. Had no idea that I would be doing it for a year and a half, but anyway, he was gracious to permit me that expanse of time, and I thought, well, I've always wanted to preach on the book of Revelation, and I'm going to give it a good go. And I had no idea it would take a year and a half to get through that. I anticipated finishing with the book of Revelation 2 weeks ago. And then last week, as I thought about it, I had one more sermon in me on that book. And this week, I thought for sure I was going to be able to have a good go away with some other topic. And all week, the Lord has impressed on me to preach out of the book of Revelation one final time. And my text is Revelation 21:2. When I saw Scotty Smith was preaching this morning, he stole my chapter. And actually, that certainly was not planned, but it was a confirmation to me, if you will, that God wanted us as a community, as a Coral Ridge community, to consider the hope that we have in heaven. I loved what Scotty had to say, and there were several striking similarities in what I've prepared and what he had to say. Now, how I will say it is very different. Chris Barber, some of you know my good friend, he's an Ox graduate, an attorney in town, and he and I have been collaborating on writing some projects together. And we are presently working on a book of typology on the women of the Old Testament particularly. One of the things that I found to emphasize in my own preaching has been how the Old Testament, all of these figures, speak about Christ in some fashion or form. But what I had overlooked for so long was the story of the women. The Bible is no a book of heroes. It's a book of heroines too, and the women are full-orbed and fully fashioned and well-developed characters all through the Old Testament. And to Chris's surprise and mine, as we've worked through about 16 of these stories now, it is amazing how the wives of these types of Christ in the Old Testament anticipate the bride of Christ. It seems like a fairly simple logic, but it took me a long time to come to think about that. The wives, the stories of the wives of all of these great men in the Old Testament anticipate the church, the bride of Christ. It teaches us something about you. All of their stories are really your story. And we have, Chris and I have been amazed, really astounded at how that has opened up a rich way of looking at the Bible. And so this past week, I was working on the bridal city, the New Jerusalem. And this wove itself together in my mind. What will it be like to be in heaven? What will that be like? And I took all of these scriptures, the heavenly city is spoken of all throughout the Bible, not just in Revelation 21 and 22, but throughout the Bible there are passages that anticipate the glory of heaven. And they all kind of began weaving together in my mind, and so I wrote it down. And that's what I want to share with you this evening. I want to take you on a journey through the eyes of the Spirit, as you can imagine. Through these texts of Scripture, everything in here is from the text of Scripture. I literally do not have time to cite them for you, but you will recognize them. Many of you will recognize from which part of Scripture they are taken. I want to take you into heaven. What would it look like? What are its foundations? How are they described? When you put all of these Scriptures together, what about that crystal river? What would that look like? What about the gates, the 12 gates, all of pearl? What's the point of all of that? What about our woundings in this life when we are divided from brethren? And some of us here have been through that, not just in recent years, but maybe throughout our Christian walk. We have been divided from brothers, sometimes deeply. What about all of that? How will all of that be healed? And so all of these texts bring that together. What will it be like to see the Lord? What will it be like when you stand in glory? Because John says that when he sees you glorified, all of you, you look beautiful, dazzling, like a bride prepared for her bridegroom. My goodness, what a promise is that, that the Lord is giving us, that the Holy Spirit is accomplishing in us something that is altogether amazing and unbelievable. We will see such glory, because, and how could it be otherwise if you think about it? We will have bodies likened to Christ's own glorious body, but we will have souls and spirits and hearts like Christ himself. Can you imagine such a thing? What a joy it is to meditate on heaven. And Paul commands us to think about heaven, and so this is what I wrote this week based upon the text, Revelation 21:2, where John says, "And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having made herself ready as a bride, adorned for her husband." So let me take you as best I can through the Scripture into a journey into the city which will be ours eternally. Christian, here is your story, your own unique and special city of the Lord Jesus, the eternal place he has prepared for you. The Lord had already prepared a place for you in his heart, even from all eternity when the Lamb was slain before the foundations of the world. Your salvation is his eternal plan and purpose. You have been his dream, his very heart, and his eternal crown of rejoicing. For even as a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so the Son of Glory rejoices over you. Listen, listen with your heart. Can't you hear his shouts of joy as he sings over you? Listen, can you hear the last trumpet sounding already? The last of the seven trumpets that shake the foundations of this world, and at whose fearsome blast the wicked walls of great Babylon, like Jericho, fall down with a great fall upon the earth. Hear the voice from heaven calling you forth as the Lord's redeemed to come out of the whorish city. Like Rahab, you have come forth, rescued from a fiery judgment, to be made a bride in the sceptered line of Judah. Like Gomer, all your children of harlotry are now made holy, and those who were once not my people are called my people, says the Lord. And like the woman who was caught in adultery, Jesus does not condemn you for your sins, but now empowers you to go forth free to sin no more. And now behold the heavenly city as she descends to cover over the judgment place of old Babylon. See her as she comes like a bride adorned for her husband, like Shulamith. All your beauty has been restored in the shade of your beloved's tree. Like Esther, you have made yourself ready for your king, and you dazzle his eyes with your beauty. And like the bride of David's desire, you have adorned yourself with every precious jewel. For like Zipporah, your once bloody bridegroom is now made glorious and clothed in royal crimson. Having led all his people into the liberty of the children of God, even to your everlasting inheritance. Like Leah, all your forsakenness is now forgotten. For your beloved says of you, my delight is in her. And like Eve, here is all your paradise made perfect. For you are not merely flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone, but you have been made by your new creation to be blood of his very blood. See all the shining splendor of your descending city. Like Rebekah, God himself chose you to be the covenant bride of his own son. And so now you see the reward of all your faith and willingness to leave everything you knew behind, that you might share the inheritance of Christ, so greatly beloved of his Father. Like Rachel, all your beauty is made fruitful, as many sons and daughters are added to you. And like Ruth, you wonder that you could have found such grace in his eyes, for he has called you to dwell forever among his people. Though you were once far away, his love has drawn you to himself, for he is now your kinsman and your redeemer, and you have found refuge under his everlasting wings. Christian, why are your eyes so filled with wonder? It is the Lord God of all creation who has arrayed this city in splendor. Walk about Zion, go all around her, count her towers, consider the beauty of her gates, go through her palaces. See the everlasting foundations of your city that cannot be shaken, beautiful for elevation, the joy of the whole earth, for your God dwells in her palaces on his holy mountain. Behold your city of light and love, all white and golden with the glow of redemption's dawn. Christian, only God could be the builder and architect of such a city, for only he could have conceived and created such beauty for you. See the great mountain of Zion's glory, the city of the living God. Look at the myriads of angels ascending and descending like rivers of liquid light upon the staircase foundations of this city, whose lamp is the Lamb. Here are the elect of all the ages, the spirits of the just made perfect in holiness and arrayed like angels in shimmering white as they reflect the light of the Lamb who outshines the sun in splendor. See now your city's foundations of beauty, her 12 foundations terrace and massive stages to the very top of her holy mountain. On her four square foundation, she forms a towering pyramid of dazzling color and glimmering jewels. Her foundations are made of precious stones in many colors, for this heavenly city was foreseen in the breastplate of Aaron, the city closest to his holy heart, and whose precious jewels represented the people of God's own possession. Look at your inheritance, Christian, like Jacob's love for Joseph expressed in his coat of many colors. Consider this well-favored city of splendor that God, your Father, has given you. Oh, Christian, so afflicted and storm-tossed in times past, look now at your city that God has given to comfort you. Behold how your city dazzles your eyes, set in silver-white antimony. God has set your city in diamonds, her foundation in sapphires, and her battlements in rubies. Look at the azure jasper, the purple sapphire, the sea-green chalcedony, the noble emerald, the many-striped sardonyx, the crimson ruby, the amber chrysolite, the wine-dark beryl, the golden topaz, the opalescent and gold-spangled chrysoprase, the cerulean jacinth, the royal purple amethyst. Only the Lord of glory, who could bring forth a diamond's prism out of the many colors of the blackest coal of earth, and who could bring forth the many-colored rainbow from the sable clouds of storm, only he could have foreseen the many colors of this, your heavenly Jerusalem, in your dark nights of sin so long ago. But now all the adamantine towers of the city's crystalline beauty shine in the redeeming light of your Lamb. Hear the rejoicing of all those coming to the mountain of this whole heavenly Zion, gathered in from all the earth. The ways of old Zion were mournful for her barrenness, but this new Zion rejoices greatly for the multitude of her sons and daughters. Listen to the mixed multitude of nations who sing the psalms of salvation as they come from east and west to the gates of Jerusalem. Listen to the sweet psalmody of all those gathered through the gates of splendor. Look to the gates of the north and see the procession of the king of Nineveh, and again to the gates of the south to see the entrance of Sheba's queen. Watch as sailors from Tarshish in the west come bearing thanksgiving offerings, and wise men from the east come to adore their bright and morning star. See how the gates of glory lift up their heads in gospel joy as the desire of the nations comes to Zion. See how all of this great throng sit at supper together, rejoicing in gospel fellowship with Father Abraham, even as the wedding supper of the Lamb is set before them. Look over there at the highways of holiness and see how they stream upward to this heavenly city. Look to the road from the south, even the road to Gaza, and see Ethiopia's eunuch coming along his way with rejoicing, and multitudes of his sons and daughters from all the nations of Ham following after him. And along the way of the sea, from Joppa through Caesarea, comes Cornelius with multitudes of the tribes of Japheth, coming to dwell in the everlasting tents of Zion's city. And along the road coming from Damascus, look there and see Paul at the vanguard of many nations, and the sons and daughters of Shem following after him, including many multitudes of his own kinsmen according to the flesh. And thus do all the nations of Noah's sons gather to bless those born in Zion, along with Egypt and Babylon, Philistia, Tyre, and Cush, even those who find all their springs of joy in Jesus' city. Hear the mighty rushing wind of God's Spirit poured out in blessing upon all these nations, so with one voice and as one people, every tongue gives praise to God. For truly in Abraham's seed have all the nations found blessing, just as the Lord God had promised, a multitude of people sharing the faith and covenant of Abraham, as many as the sand of the sea and as magnificent as the stars of the sky. Lift up your eyes, Christian. See the river whose channel streams make glad the city of our God. The river of paradise needs no streams from the Lethea forgetfulness, for her waters are called Aletheia, the life-giving springs of eternal truth, which shall never be forgotten. See your city, Christian, where justice rolls down like water and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. All who drink of these waters will yield their fruit in perennial season. Their leaf also will never wither, but it is appointed for the healing of the nations. See the great river whose cascades of crystal flow down the 12 cataracts of channeled terraces of this city of jewels. The river of living water springs forth at the summit from the riven side of the temple of glory. It gives drink to the tree of life on either side of the throne of God. Soon its crystal waters swell into a mighty stream, flowing down from this great mount into the four corners of all the earth. See the waters as they restore the desert places and make fruitful the green of the gardens of this new world's Eden. How mighty are these living waters to make all the salty seas sweet and cause even the deserts to blossom with beauty. In olden times, Naaman the Syrian lamented that the waters of Damascus had no power to heal the scales of the leper. But now these healing waters have purified the rivers of Damascus so that unclean scales from the eyes of Saul the Pharisee fall away in the washing of gospel baptism. And the desert way of Gaza, which was as barren as the Ethiopian eunuch who traveled through there, is given new life as an oasis of baptismal waters washes away all the barrenness of former times. Look at the top of the bridal city's mountain of jewels and see her gates of pearl, like a necklace of bridal beauty, surmounting and surrounding the foundations of her firmament. 12 gates, all of pearl, give welcome to those for whom there is no more suffering or remembrance of pain. Did you not recognize, Christian, why the gates of this fair city are made of pearl? Did you not understand the kindness of God to the little creature in the sea who suffered in his shell? Was it not the kindness of its creator who gave it the wisdom to make a pearl to remove its suffering? And if God was so kind to a little creature in the deep of the sea, can you even imagine all his kindness toward you when once you have passed these gates of pearl into glory, leaving all suffering behind? Don't you know that God himself will wipe away every tear from your eyes? He is a loving Father, and all your tears have been kept in a bottle close to his heart, so that one by one he will show you how all your suffering has been made glory, and that though sorrow was with you for a nighttime, eternal joy has come to you with this everlasting morning. Enter her gates with thanksgiving. Come into her courts with praise. Here is the city of all your delight, the dwelling place of God Most High. See the towers of David soaring skyward over there, and consider the greater wisdom displayed in these everlasting porticos of Solomon, emblazoned with the enameled shields of many nations. What a heraldry of many colors stand at attention before the judgment hall of all nations, the throne of the great king who rules from the river to the ends of the earth, as long as the sun shines and until the moon is no more. Look that way toward the field of archers. There you will see faithful Abraham sharing supper with righteous Lot. Can you hear them as they marvel at the wisdom of God in healing the ancient quarrel between their herdsmen? Who would have considered that God would reconcile both their houses in love when Boaz took Ruth the Moabitess as wife, and when Rehoboam, whose mother was an Ammonite, became the father of Abijah in the royal line of Jesus? Was it not through Christ that God reconciled the world to himself and grafted together both Moab and Ammon into the olive tree of Abraham's promise? See them now dwelling together in peace, both of them, in the pleasantest parts of the garden of the Lord. And look, Christian, at all the glorious gates of the new city. See these great gates of pearl, all named for the 12 sons of Jacob? Can't you see them in the iridescent glory of the light of this city? Each of them wearing the opalescent pearl of many colors, showing forth the all-encompassing favor of their heavenly Father toward each of his sons, as all of them now are given so splendid a coat of many colors. Did you not notice the foundation of this heavenly city in the days of Joseph? Were not his brothers, who had dealt so treacherously and wickedly against him in the beginning, now at the end, at last called to him and embraced by him in the arms of full forgiveness? Did you not see a preview of your heavenly city in the embrace of the 12 brothers, whose forgiveness is now memorialized in the names engraved over these gates of grace and glory? And look there at the wonder before your eyes. How good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. Who but Jesus could have imagined all this glory? For behold how David breaks bread in a fellowship supper with Uriah. Does it surprise you that David's soul is knit to the soul of Uriah, his friend, whom he loves as his own soul? Who but God could redeem such brokenness? In the wisdom of God, Uriah the Hittite had no brother in the covenant to raise up a seed to his name that his light should not be extinguished in Israel. Only the king, as the covenant head of his people, could be made his leveret brother, to raise up a son to the house of the Hittite. Didn't Matthew, the evangelist of grace, intimate this to your heart when he named good Uriah in the genealogy of Jesus? For in Jesus both the house of David and the house of Uriah share a double honor. And look there, Christian, behold how Paul and Barnabas and John Mark break bread together, for all of them celebrate how God in grace has mightily overcome all their weaknesses in his great strength, so that multitudes have come to this celestial city through the faithfulness and courage of their witness. For here is every schism healed, every wound made whole by the wisdom of our great Redeemer, the Lord, our healer. Here you will receive your reward as you see the face of God himself as he extends his golden scepter of mercy to you to show you his everlasting favor, for he has given you the half of all his kingdom. Do you not see him as he comes? Do you not hear the shouts as all the redeemed say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord? Can you not sense his presence drawing near as the fragrance of his myrrh and aloes begins to surround you, knowing that soon you will be embraced by his nail-pierced hands and held by the heart of all his affections? For he is your joy and your exceeding great reward. He will be your everlasting companion. Behold, he rejoices as a bridegroom to run his race to be with you. See him coming forth from his tabernacle with a splendor that outshines the sun, rising from one end of heaven to the other. And know, sweet Christian, that he is your own forever, and that nothing, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, your Lord. He will never leave you or forsake you, for he loves you with an everlasting love. And you will stand at his right side as the bride of all his affections, enjoying his pleasures forevermore. Everything you ever wished upon your bright and morning star has come true. And you, together with your royal prince, will enjoy the eternal joy of his heavenly Father's kingdom blessings, living happily ever after. Gracious God, we cannot imagine all that you have set before us, but of all this city of splendor, the greatest joy will be to see the face of our beloved Savior. We thank you for him through whom we have all things, even pleasures forevermore. Amen. Would you please rise for the benediction?